I suppose I should say, like my brethren before me, I'm happy to be here. Well, there's a sense I am. But there's a sense in which I would rather be anywhere else but here today. But I trust the Lord will give help. We're going to read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. A few days ago, I offered to take my wife shopping. Now, don't worry, I didn't lose it completely. But I handed her a key and she said, What is this? I said, Well, come out and see. And she came out and there was a little smart car sitting there. I said, Here, it's yours. She looked at me and she looked at the key. And I said, Get in, try it. It's, you know, it gets 80 miles a gallon. Try it. Now you have money to shop. And she still looked at me and looked at the key and she said, It's not. It wasn't. I really couldn't give it to her. I was just taking it out for a ride. A friend of mine sells cars and he said, Here, take this for a ride. And he wanted to sell it to me and I wouldn't have mind buying it, but what I want to tell you is I really couldn't give it to my wife because it wasn't mine. Now I want to talk to you today just for a few minutes on what I have labeled principles of possession. We heard this morning of a people that refused to go in and possess the land that God gave them. I want to talk about these people going in to possess the land, not so much their going in, but the very fact that God had given it to them, they could have it. It was theirs to possess. And if they were to keep this possession, there were certain things they had to acknowledge. Because God made it quite clear that if they didn't, He would put them out. Now, the first thing I want to look at is just a very simple thing. They had to acknowledge ownership. It was the Lord's. God wasn't giving them a land and saying, "Here, I've set you free from Egypt. Now you can come in and do as you like. You can just come in, take over this land, and worship any way you like, live any way you like, do whatever you like. It's yours, free, take it." It's not what He said. He said, "It's mine. It's my land. And I'll let you possess it. You can occupy my land." But you see what happened? Israel soon forgot that the land belonged to the Lord. And they started to act like it was theirs. And they began to do what they wanted to do with their land. So one of the first things that the Lord needed to teach them that I want to take from the Old Testament and just bring it into our thinking, because it is a principle of possession. No more could I give my wife that smart car. It wasn't mine to give. No more could God give these people this land unless it was His. And it was His. And no more can you and I occupy a place in the assembly unless it's God's and we acknowledge that it's His place. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that, you know the scriptures in Psalms, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." But you remember the 10 plagues in Egypt? I'm sure you do. You've learned about them in Sunday school. You remember what God was teaching Pharaoh in those 10 plagues? He says it very clearly. In fact, Psalm 94 might be a quote from Exodus chapter 9. He said this, "That you might know, that Pharaoh might know, that the earth is the Lord's. And He will put in it who He wants, where He wants, when He wants. It's His. Egypt did not belong to Pharaoh. The Nile River was not created by Pharaoh, even though he claimed that. He claimed, "I made the Nile River. I'm God." And God said, "No, no. I made it. It's mine to give to whomever I will." So when He brings Israel right to the borders of the Promised Land, way back in Genesis chapter 17, God had promised this. And from Genesis through Exodus, through Numbers, through Deuteronomy, right up here to Joshua, God had promised this land. It was His all along. And He had promised to give this to these people. They could possess it if they acknowledged the Lord their God. Now, you and I know the history, so we're looking back from the other side. And we can see what happened when they forgot God. When they failed to acknowledge that this is the Lord's. We are only tenants. And they began to possess the land as if it was theirs. They began to do what they wanted to do in the land any way they wanted to. They began to desecrate the land. They set up their high places. They brought back in the idols. They didn't completely drive out the inhabitants of the land. And you know the story. And it wasn't very long until they were actually saying, "Who is the Lord? This is our land." And the Lord put them out. Now, it's not my intention to speak about Israel today. I would like to speak about the place where you occupy and I occupy, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, in the church of God, in the house of God, a place that doesn't belong to us, that belongs to Him. Because I think the tendency is, as we get older, our minds start to forget things. And the longer that we have been gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, the longer we're there, the more we get to think that it's ours. We even talk about it in our assembly. And we say, oh yeah, we know what we mean. No, I don't know what you mean. It's not ours. It's God's. In fact, Paul made that quite clear to Timothy, didn't he? Remember what he says? That thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in your house? No. In the house of God. It's God's. The same chapter, just a little further up in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he's speaking to elders and he says about ruling your own house well. If a man can't rule his own house well, how can he take care of the house of God, the church of God? It's God's. It's His. We were already hearing this afternoon about our opinions coming to the forefront and our hearts getting away from God and getting mixed up in our traditions and what we like and how we do it against what God says. And it is a work of the heart. And I would like to remind our souls again today that one of the principles of possessing, of staying in, of having this great privilege continued to us, of being in the house of God, of being gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus, of having the Lord in our midst, one of the great principles of possession is this: our acknowledgement that it's His. It is His. He owns it. He has say in it. You see, that was the issue with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was saying, who is the Lord that I should listen to Him? This is my Egypt. This is my place. I'm the king here. I set the standard here. And Moses said, no, you don't. It's the Lord's. And His rule is obeyed. So, if we are to remain gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, we need to acknowledge, this is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. Now, I know some people are not like this. I am, but some people are not like this. Some people protect their own things and are pretty careless with things of others. Well, I learned a lesson as a young fellow from my own dad. My dad was a carpenter, and I used to like to use his tools. They were better than mine. They were also more expensive than mine. And I found out pretty quick that if I didn't take care of his better than mine, I ended up paying for his. And it taught me a valuable lesson. And it's this: I got to be really careful when I'm handling things that belong to others. I've got to take real care of that which is not mine, especially when I'm put in trust with it. We have been put in trust with something that's precious. It's precious to the heart of God. And sometimes I fear We are handling it as if it's not precious, as if it doesn't matter, it's not mine if I break it. It's the Lord's. And if we want to remain in it, we need to acknowledge this is God's house. But secondly, you'll notice as we read through this opening part of Joshua, how many times Joshua was told not only himself, but to instruct the people to obey all that the Lord has spoken. Let me read it to you again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mightest stay in the land, that thou mightest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. You would think that God would say, now you've got to be real careful, Joshua, when you get in there, that you clean everybody out, clean up the land. That'll make it so that you can stay there forever. You make sure you fight the battles right. Fight them legally. Don't fight dirty. Do what's right. That'll make it that you stay in the land. But God gave this condition. He said, if you're going to stay in this land, you have to obey. He says it again. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I skipped it again. Observe to do all that is written in this book of the law. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. So the condition, the second condition, principle of possession is this. Obedience is expected. God expects you to obey. Now you say, well, that's under the law. Yeah, it was. God expected them to obey. Well, we're under grace, so we're given a lot more latitude and a lot more liberty. We have this liberty in Christ, so we really don't have to obey. Now, if there's anybody here that thinks liberty in Christ means you don't have to obey, I feel like saying put up your hands, but I'd almost be afraid too many hands might go up. Liberty in Christ is no license for disobedience. We have been set free from self, from sin, and from the world. We have been set free to serve the Lord with our whole heart. We have been set free from that which bound us. The Word of God doesn't bind us. We have liberty to obey all that the Lord has commanded us. And obedience is one of the requirements for staying in the land. You see, they forgot that. They didn't stay in the land because they didn't obey. Lest you think it's just an Old Testament thing, I jotted down some scriptures I want to go over with you real quickly. I won't have you turn to them, but I just want to remind you of some of these. Do you remember in Acts chapter 5 when Peter and the apostles were told not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus anymore? Remember what they said? We ought to obey God rather than man. Oh, you say, yes, that's true when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. We ought to obey God. Okay. How about this one? We are His witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given unto them that obey Him. That's New Testament believers. How about Romans chapter 2? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, God's indignation and wrath is upon them.
How about Romans 6? You know this one, don't you?
Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? Again, Romans 6. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Our very beginning as Christians started when we obeyed the gospel. For what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And yet somehow we think that we're able to possess, to stay in God's assembly, gathered out from the world, separated like Israel was, a special nation for himself, a special people for himself, and yet somehow we can be disobedient. You know, there's a trend that I heard old preachers talk about, and I thought, that's the old preachers. And I'm going bald and getting old myself now, and I guess I'm getting to be one of those old guys. But I'm starting to see something that they said. If you want to see what the assembly will be like, just take a good look at the world. Because something will start, a trend, a fad will start in the world. It'll move into Christendom. And then it'll move into the assembly. And it's happening. And somehow we think that we'll still be vibrant, separated people unto the Lord, gathered to the lovely name of the Lord Jesus, and we don't have to obey. I just want to remind our hearts again today that one of the principles of staying in the land is obedience to His Word. Paul says to the Corinthians, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Not just the big things. In all things. You know well what happened in Galatia, don't you? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth before you? Ye did run well. Who hath hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And Paul says to the Philippians, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Obedience is required. You see, there is a difference between legalism and the law and scriptural obedience. There is a difference. We are not bound, do this or die. No. But God has called us to Himself. My brother Dennison has tried to bring to us that if our hearts are close to Christ, it's easy to follow. It's easy to obey. For we want to please Him. We will either do what we do out of duty or out of devotion. And God has called our hearts to Himself that we might be devoted to Him. And devoted hearts obey Him. Only be careful, Joshua says. Only be careful, the Lord says to Joshua, to observe and to do all that I have commanded you. So not only is ownership acknowledged, but obedience is expected. But then you'll find through these opening words in Joshua that God tells Joshua to be strong.
and of a good courage. Now, why would you have to tell a man to be strong? Be strong and of a good courage. Why do you got to keep... Only be strong. And then even the people said to him later on, we didn't read that far down, just be strong, Joshua, and be of good courage. Be strong. Because God likes strong leaders? Well, yes, but strength is required. You see, there were enemies in the land. There were mighty men in the land. Remember the bad report 38 years ago? That there were giants in the land? They're still there. And you don't defeat giants sitting on your couch in front of a television. You don't defeat giants eating potato chips and getting fat and lazy. Joshua, God is saying, Joshua, work out! Exercise! Build up your muscles! Be strong! Because you're going to go in and fight for the Lord! And there's only one way, physically, for a man to get strong. That's exercise. And there's only one way for believers to be strong spiritually. That's exercise. You know what exercise is? It doesn't mean I'm thinking about something. It means I'm flexing. I'm using those spiritual muscles. I'm working out spiritually. I'm not lazy spiritually. To work out physically. If a man has a full-time job of work, they get up early in the morning and they go to the gym. I just picked up a book that I read. The cover, it looked shocking. Even the title of it wasn't very good. But it was a freebie, so I took it. And it was a conversion of a wrestler, a world-famous wrestler. And that man used to get up at 4:30 in the morning and work in the gym till 9:30 every single day. And God, by His grace, came in and saved him. After he reached the top of the wrestling world and his life was in shambles, his marriage was in shambles, God in His grace came in and saved the man. And you know what he said? If I could get up at 4:30 in the morning to pump iron, I can get up at 4:30 in the morning to read my Bible. And that man began to pour himself into this book and to spend time with God and to pray. And then as he noticed things in his life that just didn't fit with the Bible he was reading, he began to work them into his life. And he began to grow and be strong. That's what God says. If you're going to stay in this land, you must be strong. Listen, it'll only take one generation to put us out of the assembly of God. All we need to do is stop reading for one generation. All we need to do is stop exercising for one generation. Just carry on the form. Come to meeting like you're told. Sing your hymns. Do your preaching. Just come. Open the Bible. Have a boring Bible study. Have a prayer meeting where half the people don't come and the other half fall asleep. Just carry on the form. And in one generation we'll be put out. Why? Because we turned weak. And there's still a great big giant in the land that would like to put us out. If we're going to possess the land, we must be strong and courageous. How does courage come? Paul tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Courage comes from not being ashamed. It comes from the Word of God initially. And it comes from yes, the first time you might be a bit timid of standing out. Hey, that worked out all right. Try that again. And you become more courageous. And the first track, you might be trembling as you hand it to someone. But then you become more courageous. That went all right. They took it. And the more you do it, the more courageous. And Joshua's told, be courageous. Don't be ashamed. March in and take this land. And everywhere you go, I'll work with you. I'll be with you. Only be courageous.
You know, it's time that we stand up and be courageous in the assembly. We don't need to hide behind, well, you know, we believe this with the brethren. You know, I know you people don't, but we, you know, we're brethren.
We don't need to do that. We have the Word of God. A girl said to me not too long ago, she said, oh, the women still wear hats where you are? I said, yeah, the sisters still cover their heads. I said, last I checked, it's still in the Word of God. Oh, she said, we don't.
I said, what? You don't what? Oh, we don't wear hats. I said, oh, you don't follow the Word of God?
Well, we think that we don't interpret that. I said, no, no. We follow the Word of God. My wife said I was kind of cruel to her. I said, we follow the Word of God. So are you telling me you don't? And you're trying to tell me what's so good about where you go? No, we're just people that follow the Word of God. Sorry, closed subject. It's time we stand for what we believe. Now, wait, you can't stand for it if you don't know it. You can't be courageous with the Scriptures if you don't know the Scriptures. So you're going to have to spend some time. Strength and courage is required. It's required in an upcoming generation to be strong. Lastly, and my time is up. Lastly, he was told not to turn to the right hand or to the left. It's peculiar. We're already hearing about liberal and conservatives and that kind of stuff. Not going right, not going left. Balance is to be maintained. If these people were to possess this land, they had to maintain spiritual balance. They couldn't be all right. They couldn't go left. God said they were to march straight ahead. They were just to follow His Word. The wise man in Proverbs tells us the same thing. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Let thine eyes look right on. Ponder the path of thy feet. Go straight ahead. Turn not to the right or the left. If we're going to continue to possess what God has given us, we're going to have to be balanced people. Where does balance come from? Pleasing everybody? No, no. Where does balance come from? Compromise? Absolutely not. Where do we get balance? Need I say it? The most balanced book in the world. We get balance from the Lord. We get balance from His Word. Principles of possession. Ownership acknowledged. Obedience expected. Courage and strength required. And balance maintained.